Hello, and welcome back to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, the marketing coordinator, and I sit down with Kirk Langford, our general manager, to discuss, you know, things that are challenging or hard to have conversations with for our frontline leaders.
That's right?
Yeah, yeah. Or managing teams, all kinds of different discussions.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of stuff, don't we?
We do. It's quite fun, though, yeah, and hopefully helpful to our listeners. Mm-hmm. So today we have a interesting, great topic, because we want to talk about managing dominant personalities.
Yes.
Yeah. So we always kind of like to start with this question of, like, why in the first place is it difficult for a manager to even address these types of personalities?
Mm-hmm. I actually think that the main reason, and it's kind of one of our tips I was going to think about providing when we talked about this topic, was I think we tend to take it personally. So when there's a dominant person on our personality, or pardon me, a dominant personality on our team, right?
Yes.
Someone who really is assertive and maybe even aggressive. I think we take it personally, and we think that they're out to get us. We feel intimidated or perhaps threatened by that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, when it becomes personal, it becomes a bit more emotional. There's a stronger emotional connection. And I think then we struggle to know how to deal with it.
Right.
And so that would probably be my first tip, too, is you know, when you're dealing with a dominant personality, recognize that in most cases, it probably isn't you being singled out. That person is not only being dominant, aggressive, assertive, whatever it might be, towards you specifically. Mm-hmm. It's more likely that they are like that in lots of different areas of their life, maybe at past jobs, maybe in their personal life, in their relationships in general. And you are just at the receiving end of this particular person's kind of dominant personality. I think if you can keep that in mind, kind of take a deep breath and go, this isn't them just being, you know, dominant towards me, then it makes it a lot easier to deal with. And part of that's because as the leader, you know, we still have often a traditional view of leadership being that you're the boss, you're in charge. And a dominant personality threatens that sort of hierarchy.
Okay.
And so you feel not only threatened maybe as an individual, but threatened as, oh, I'm the boss and they're dominating me. And so now I feel like my authority is also maybe being jeopardized or being threatened.
Right. So when you're even trying to just get things done and you need to address someone who is maybe not only dominant, but I guess what we're saying is pushing back against maybe your authority and things like that. Great. Like, what's the immediate benefit then for people to adopt this non-personal perspective, which, by the way, is hard.
Yeah.
That's got to be hard.
Yeah, it is.
Especially like when you're being confronted. I wouldn't say I'm a dominant person, but I've known some. And when they are confronted with, it's hard to stay calm. In my opinion,
it's hard.
Calm. You almost see it ticking in their eye, right? They're
right.
Like, this person is challenging me.
Yeah.
So if there's a frontline leader who has a dominant personality on their team and is maybe being confronted, any tips for them to stay calm? Or, I mean, I suppose maybe just by answering my question where it's, you know, how,
what's the benefit
taking it not personally.
I think the benefit of them not taking it personally is automatically you can be calmer, because there's that, like I said, a more of an emotional feeling or attachment when you think they're attacking you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can remove yourself from that equation a little bit and say, it's not really about me, it's just them, there's a benefit of you can now face it a bit more neutrally and maybe a bit more rationally. And like we teach in our course, it is pretty hard to be rational if you feel upset or emotional. And so if you can help move some of that, not move some of it out of the way, but process some of that emotion by saying, well, this isn't really about me, this is their personality type perhaps. I think the challenge is that we don't see them necessarily in their personal life, or we don't see how they interact with other people.
Right.
Or we might see them interact with their friend and maybe they seem a little bit calmer, or you know, and you think, well, you know, with that coworker that they get along with really well, they seem so much more docile. But again, we don't see how they interact with their family most of the time. We don't see how they interact with lots of other people. And so that's why I think we take it personally in the first place. So the benefit to me is that I know as a leader myself, I can be a lot calmer if I think, no, this is often just how that person is in their day to day. I'm not at the receiving end of any special treatment, good or bad. This is just kind of par for the course, or this is just them.
Could you just just came to me, but could you maybe like keep in mind that a more dominant personality might also yeah. be ambitious, right?
Yeah.
And they might be wanting to move up the ladder. So also you might want to flip the script a little bit and be like, instead of like approaching this as like confrontation, how about we coach this up and they can come, you know, if they're really want to have their say in something or this and that, it's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think maybe that's where you want to, you bring up a good point, and that's where you want to clarify between maybe, you know, aggressive and assertive. Like assertive is being able to sort of stand up for your own needs while also recognizing the needs of others. And aggressive is more about my needs are more important than yours and I have to win, right? So that's certainly something to think about when you're thinking of a dominant leader. Are they dominant in the sense that they have to win at the expense of everybody else losing?
Okay.
Or can they win while also letting other people win? And I think to your point, thinking about the why behind their dominant personality. Now, we're not psychologists or psychiatrists. We're not trying to, you know, diagnose, and we're not trying to psychoanalyze. So sometimes you very well may never know why they act a certain way. Mm-hmm. But like you said, thinking about, maybe they're acting this way because they are ambitious, because they hopefully want to move up, and maybe they feel this is the way they need to behave in order to do that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe at their past job, you know, it was a very cutthroat place, and if you wanted to move ahead, you had to be quite dominant. Or again, maybe it's a personality trait where that's just how they grew up, right? And again, we're not trying to psychoanalyze, and we're not trying to get to the deep-rooted reason that you are a dominant personality. Mm-hmm. But instead of assuming, like you said, that it's a negative thing, and instead of assuming that it's all for the wrong reasons, you could turn it around and say, you know, I noticed you got this, you know, in your conversations, you're quite dominant, but I also noticed you're quite ambitious. And so I'm just trying to reconcile these two in my head and help you. If you are ambitious about becoming a leader and about moving up, I want to help you do that for sure. And I want to help you do that in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in today's workforce, a lot of dominant personalities, that can be a struggle for people to be led by a very dominant personality. Or if you're a leader and you've got a dominant personality on your team, it can be a struggle. We're in a time where we want to be a bit more collaborative, a bit more copacetic.
Yep.
And so to that end, coaching them is actually helping them understand why they don't need to sort of bully their way through or push their way through aggressively in order to get what they want. And that at the end of the day, you want a team that gets along better. Like I think it's Reed Hastings, who was the CEO of Netflix. He has a talk about, you know, never hire the superstar. And what he says in there is he's like, never hire the superstar because they're so often a jerk. They're just not a very good person. They're used to being at the top. They're used to being the smartest person in the room, and they're not a good team player. And what he says is that most great work at companies now gets done on teams. And I don't mean Microsoft Teams. I mean in a team setting.
Yes, of course.
So if you can't work well with other people, you end up being very isolated, and people don't want to work with you, and you don't want to work with them. And yet if all the great work is being done on teams and you can't work in a team, how much value do you bring to the organization? So, you know, I think the leader's job is to try to help that dominant personality perhaps understand why that dominant personality might actually be working against them in today's working environment, rather than them thinking, well, if I'm dominant, I'll get what I want. Well, see how this is actually not serving you maybe in the way you think it is.
Yeah, that's really great. It's kind of making me rethink, because I'm such a superstar. So yeah, it's really starting to make...
You sure are, Suzanne.
Am I the jerk?
Well, you know? You got to look around and go, am I the dominant personality in the room?
Is that me?
Is it me?
Another strategy that we talked about when we were prepping for this was to focus on the observable behavior and facts. So what can you say towards that?
Well, essentially it means, we talk about this in other podcast episodes, right, where we're talking about how to deal with a difficult situation, but it's essentially that it don't go for people's personalities, right? Don't go after them and say,
Cut them out at the knees.
Yeah, you're a mean person, or you're a dominant, you know, you're really aggressive. Like that's describing them as a person,
right?
Rather than focusing on the specific behaviors, the observable behaviors and the facts of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, telling someone that they are aggressive, telling someone that they are dominant or that they are bossy or whatever. Again, that's not always a fair depiction of them, right? And we don't always know their situation. So focusing on the specific behaviors is going to get them way less defensive if we have to talk to them about it, right?
Right. I have heard Greg say actually quite a few times in training or just chatting with clients that the way to approach a dominant personality is with facts. Because
yeah,
you can almost prove it.
Meet them with facts rather than, hey, I feel like
I feel,
you're...
Yes, exactly.
So you can try to avoid some of those maybe more... I'm blanking on the word here, but okay. Some of those more, I guess, things you would use with a passive person where we talk a little bit more about how we're feeling, a little bit more about how it makes us feel. And instead we say things like, you know, it's been pointed out that you tend to interrupt people in meetings and that frustrates the rest of the team. I'm going to ask that moving forward, you let people finish what they want to say and then go ahead and add your opinion or your thoughts on it. You know, there's been a couple of times where you've come off as quite critical or where what you've said has been seen as quite critical. And I appreciate that you're thinking about people's ideas critically and that you're thinking about, you know, will this work or not? But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to first consider it from a more open perspective and then come back with, make sure your critiques are how do we improve the idea rather than just shutting down someone's idea.
Yes.
So focusing on observable behaviors, focusing on the facts rather than their personality. I also think stay away from assumptions. And by that, I mean saying like, well, I know you're like this because you don't like me.
Oh,
don't say things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Because what if they say, what do you mean I don't like you? Don't put words into their mouth. Mm-hmm. Don't tell them how they feel and don't tell them what their intentions are because we don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And that's setting up a situation where no one's going to win because they can just simply say, well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not how I feel.
Right.
And if you're sitting there trying to push that point, well, I'm pretty sure. I mean, the way you act, it's almost like you don't want me here. You're not going to get anywhere with that conversation.
Yeah.
So focus on the behavior, focus on the behavior you want to see and how you're going to move towards that. That's really what you want to focus on. So keep away from here's what you think and here's why you think that, and stay away from, kind of going after their personality as a whole.
Yeah, and assuming what their intentions are and guessing, you know, and assuming, right? Because
right.
like you said, it's setting the stage for them to just say, absolutely
that's not true. Yeah, now it's a he said, she said. Well, that's what
yes.
I think. Well, that's not true. Okay,
but this
now
is how
what?
I feel. Yeah, and you just
we
get back and
anywhere.
Forth. And yeah, no, that's a really great point. So like record, take notes. What we had said, observe is the word I'm looking for here. Observe and take. So that can take some time,
I suppose, right?
And then, you know, in that time you can calculate and try to remain calm when you're addressing, being confronted with maybe. So the last thing that we have on our list that we wanted to kind of touch base on today is adopting a constructive mindset, which I think is true in kind of almost any scenario, I would say. But how is it more important, or if it is more important for dealing or handling or managing, a dominant personality?
Yeah. So if you're, some people will be familiar with McGregor. He was a person in the 60s that came up with this theory X and theory Y. His name is Douglas McGregor. And he came up with this theory about theory X, theory Y. And it was basically how management perceives their employees then dictates how they treat them. So theory X basically says that you assume employees are kind of lazy. They need a very authoritarian style of leadership. If they can get away with not working, they will. They don't generally want to be creative or think outside the box. They don't want to do extra. They just kind of want to get by on the bare minimum.
Yeah, sounds like someone you don't want to manage.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Theory Y, on the other hand, suggests that people do want to work. And people are hardworking and they do want to be creative and they do want to do a good job and they want to perform well. You can imagine that if you believe that everybody is theory X, everybody is lazy and not very creative and you know, is
your
lacking
is
innovation and lacking,
and,
you know, they're not very independent. You're going to manage them very differently than if you believe that people are, you know, willing to put in the work and people do want to work hard and people want the team and the company to succeed and people themselves want to succeed.
So you're saying as the frontline leader, you almost want them to shift their, like their own mindset into a more constructive.
But what I actually mean is that I want the leaders listening to this podcast, if they have to have a conversation with a dominant personality, I want you to take a theory Y approach. And by that,
right.
I mean, I want you to believe that that team member, that dominant personality that you're, you know, having to talk to or address is not only capable, but is even maybe willing to make the necessary behavior changes to be successful. So when we sit down with that person, we're not automatically going, oh, I got to have this conversation, but God knows you're not going to change because you're stubborn as a mule. If we're thinking that in our head, we're going to be so much more apprehensive about going into that conversation. We're going to be dreading it. And you know, we talk about how hard, difficult conversations are to begin with, conversations like this.
Yes.
We're not making it any easier on ourselves if we don't actually believe the person's going to change because we're going to feel like it's a waste of time. But if we can say to ourselves, listen, you know, I think this person maybe is a little bit stubborn, but ultimately I think they want to do well. And I think they want the team to succeed. And I think they want to succeed. So going into this conversation, I truly believe that this person not only has the ability, but the desire to change. I'm going to go in with a much more open mind about it. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this isn't you know, all rainbows and skies and, or, you know, blue skies and, oh, I just need to have the right belief and they'll change automatically. That's not what happens.
Right, of course.
If you've been the way you are for a really long time and I'm trying to shift your behavior to something that I feel helps you work better with the team to produce and provide and sort of perform better, then that might be a long-term process, right? That might be more than one small conversation about behavior. That might be multiple conversations over a period of time. But if I constantly believe that I think they want this to happen and I think there's behavior change not only possible but desired, then I think I'm going to find you know, better outcomes in general. And I'm going to be a lot less stressed and a lot less dreading those conversations because I have a more positive belief going into it. So sometimes people think it sounds a little bit hokey, like, oh, my belief, you know, dictates how I treat them, but it does. Right. And the second part is that I think if you come to work with the belief that your team wants to succeed, wants to do well, then dealing with a dominant personality is going, okay, well, if I believe that this person wants to succeed and wants to do well, really makes me ask, I wonder why they're choosing this more dominant personality to try to get to that goal. So maybe I can talk to them about that and say, hey, I believe that you want to succeed. I believe you want the team to succeed.
Yeah.
I believe that you believe, you know, believe in the ability of the team. Help me understand, you know, why these specific behaviors are kind of manifesting and what can we do about those?
Yeah, you might be putting up barriers, right? You might be stopping your team from, you know,
and
from doing
it,
the things that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it might come back to, well, this is how I've always done it. I was never really given feedback. So then you go, oh, perfect.
Oh, right.
Or
Absolutely.
It might be, you know, at my old job, this is what they did. And it was sort of very cutthroat. And in order to get results, this is, or not even my old job, my old team, my old department. And so this is just what we had to do to make things get done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's not so much about, maybe correcting the behavior as much as educating and teaching and coaching to a better behavior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Good stuff, because we talk a lot about making sure that we address these issues right away as well, right? And
yeah,
I think
promptly,
earlier
for sure.
You were kind of talking about the reasons why someone might not have a conversation. And I think one of them is too, is that you might just be, you know, nervous to actually have that conversation, which then you're not going to address it promptly.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what happens if a leader delays addressing these issues with a dominant personality?
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. You're working out at the gym and you're doing squats and you have bad form. If no one corrects you, are you going to just somehow magically correct your form yourself?
No, absolutely not.
No. Are you going to know even that there's a problem with your form?
Probably not unless my back starts hurting
or something bad happens. And then someone's going to go, oh yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Right? You should have fixed that.
Mm-hmm.
But if in the first day or two that you're trying out squats and your personal trainer or someone comes up and goes, hey, try it this way. If you keep doing it the way you're doing it, that's going to end up causing you a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe a simple analogy, but I think it holds true in that if no one corrects you, how do you know you're doing something wrong?
Yep.
And especially if we go back to the squat analogy. So you're at the gym, you're doing squats, and if you don't even know that there's a different way you should be doing them, then you're still doing squats. And in your mind, you're like, I'm doing it. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing applies to a leader who is more dominant. If they're getting results doing things the way they're doing, how do they know that there's a better way, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not getting that feedback. So my thing is, if you don't fix a problem, how can someone even, A, know that there's a problem that needs to be fixed or a behavior that needs to be changed?
Yep.
And then how can they start changing it, right? So basically what happens is if you don't address a problem, it's not going to go away on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably going to get worse over time. So the escalation, the tension gets escalated. And imagine, you know, what's probably the first thing? If I'm a personal trainer and we're working together and you do your squats improperly, and after 6 months I finally go, oh, by the way, you should lift that way. What's probably going to be your first reaction?
Why didn't you tell me sooner? Why didn't you tell me sooner? Why did we do six months of this?
That's right. And so the same thing happens when a leader sits a person down and gives them feedback. They're going to go, wait, I've been doing this for 6 months. Why didn't you say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the one caveat I'll say to that is I do think that We as leaders, we want to make sure that we're not kind of pinning somebody based on one interaction. So we're in a meeting, we see them say something to a certain person that's maybe a bit more negative than we'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to see, is this a one-off? Are they just having a bit of a bad day and they lashed out a little bit? Or is this a behavior that mm-hmm. I need to address. So I totally get it that you might wait one or two times just to go, oh, now I'm seeing it twice in a week.
Yep,
or
that's fair.
You know, before yep. you address it. But I also think that there are ways that we can have these conversations early on, mm-hmm. right? So if someone's being dominant early on, we can have perhaps a more preliminary conversation mm-hmm. rather than a formal sit down and hopefully nip that in the bud. And if it is just a one-off, okay, we've addressed it. We said, hey, I noticed this happened. It's resulted in this this result. Mm-hmm. And next time I want to see it go like this. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. If it never happens again, great. Mm-hmm. If it happens again and we need to address it again, we know that this is more of an yeah. ongoing behavior that we need to work on.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, these often are not one-time conversations when you're dealing yeah. with behaviors.
Yeah.
So what steps to kind of wrap it up and yeah. put a bow on our yeah. episode today? How would a frontline leader follow up with these conversations to make sure that the
behaviors
that the behaviors, mm-hmm. yeah, that you want to change are being, you know, are sticking?
Yeah. I think I would plan a checkup or a check-in at the initial conversation. So if you're addressing
right there,
something, depending on how severe mm-hmm. it is at the time you're addressing it, because yep. you might be coming into a team where there's existing issues and you know you need to start fixing them. Mm-hmm. Or who knows, maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're like, you know what, I'm going to start giving more feedback and addressing more issues. I've got some dominant personalities and I'm going to start addressing it.
Yeah.
At that point, if something's already been going on for quite a while, then first of all, great that this podcast gave you the impetus to want to do something. Mm-hmm. But second of all, it's probably going to be a multi-step process. So what yes. I would say is when you first address that, set expectations for the new behavior you want to see. And at that time, also set a check-in of some sort to say, I'll circle back with you in a couple of weeks or, you know, two Fridays from now or whatever it is mm-hmm. to ask you about this and to give you my feedback on how it's been going. So plan that there's going to be a feedback loop happening. I think the other thing is when you see progress, highlight it, celebrate it.
Right.
Right. Not shout from the rooftops, but just a quick, hey, you know, I noticed that you heard that person's idea last week and you gave some really positive, but also helpful critique. And I just want to thank you for yeah. giving that really nicely leveled critique, because honestly, I think it helped our idea become even better.
Yeah.
Right. So notice progress where progress is being made. Focus mm-hmm. on the gains.
Or even if they just have to bite their tongue or not say
anything. Maybe for those just, people, it'll be just don't say anything.
Just
right,
who aren't, if you're just able to not interrupt or, you know, really yeah. kind of bulldoze your way
yeah,
in there.
Exactly.
Like really, like, thank you for yeah. just, you know, sitting back and thinking about,
and letting other
you know,
people have the say.
People,
yeah.
yeah. Letting exactly. other people have the say and things
so
like
I
that.
So I think planning out that step of like, what is this going to look mm-hmm. like? And I think that's the first part. Now, it doesn't have to be super rigid. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be, I will plan seven follow-up meetings with you right. on the following dates. Mm-hmm. But I think letting them know that, hey, I'm going to circle back in a couple of weeks
yeah,
and we'll
great.
Chat about it again and see where you're at. See if you have any questions for me. See if you need any support. I think that's a good way to go about it.
I also like celebrating the wins, because then you don't always feel like the manager or leader or supervisor who is just only coming with negative
yeah.
things to say.
Absolutely.
Right? So like when you know, they're like, oh, you know, Suze is coming again. Like,
yeah.
you know,
what have I
great.
Done now?
And then,
yeah.
you yeah. know, when it's a more positive interaction,
yeah.
I think, yeah, if you can have both,
yeah.
it's just a more balanced approach, right? As opposed to only ever going to
mm-hmm.
someone when there's a problem and only setting up feedback loops to address an issue. If that's your only interaction
yeah.
with your leader, I can imagine that a dominant personality also would
yeah.
probably put up walls even. Yeah.
yeah. Very well. Could happen.
Yeah.
yeah. For sure. Good.
Awesome. Such a great conversation today.
Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah.
Thanks,
thank you for joining us. And next time on Leader Feeder, we'll have another great discussion about, well, something.
Could be anything. Something leadership for sure.
Have a great day. Till next time.